Loving Lord, open your word for us now. Help us to take up your easy yoke, to walk alongside you, to live in your grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, regardless of what you think of Andy Burnham, he does seem to want the role of Prime Minister and looks very likely to get it. But I'm tempted to wonder why anyone in their right mind would want the job. You might be the darling of the party and the electorate and the media one moment, but all that can change in a heartbeat. And once you're actually in office, I think they're all gunning for you, dissecting and challenging your plans and pouncing on every misstep. But that seems to be the world that we live in, isn't it? Maybe it's always been like that. But with the advent of social media, it seems like there's always someone ready to criticise. I do think Jesus could relate to that. Whatever he did, someone wasn't happy. He talks about his cousin, John the Baptist, who at this point in the gospel is in prison for calling out King Herod on his behaviour. And John is condemned for being too serious, too straight-laced, too pious. Jesus enjoys too many dinners with tax collectors and sinners and women of dubious morals. And he gets it in the neck for having too good a time and not being discerning enough about the company he was keeping. The lectionary reading actually skips a few verses in Matthew where Jesus expresses frustration at the towns and villages where he'd been doing many miraculous things. One of them he mentions, Capernaum, is where they lowered the man, paralyzed man, down through the roof and he's healed. And yet these towns and villages, by and large, didn't turn to Jesus, didn't repent. He just can't win. When he spends time with sinners, he's criticized. When he performs miracles, they're unimpressed. What does he have to do to convince these people? Trying to keep everyone happy is exhausting. And if you hadn't noticed, impossible. Apart from a world that sometimes sets impossible standards and keeps moving the goalposts, just trying to meet the expectations of the people in our own lives, however lovingly they express them, can grind us down and chip away at our self-confidence or make us slaves to the tyranny of perfectionism. Even if those people are not still with us, we can hear their voices, can't we? In our heads sometimes. Don't do it like that. Are you going out in that? You know, those voices are still there. If Jesus had been the least bit insecure, or if he'd been a people pleaser, and how many of us fall into that trap, he'd have tied himself in knots in no time. So it's a good job that he was neither of those things, neither insecure nor a people pleaser. And why? Because he knew his Father intimately, and he knew his Father loved him beyond measure. Jesus was secure in that relationship with God, his Father. He knew he didn't have to please anyone else. Remember, at his baptism, Jesus had heard those words from heaven, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." How reassuring and comforting and needed those words were as Jesus began his ministry. Jesus knew that he was totally loved by the one, the only person who truly mattered. We might find ourselves thinking, well, that's all right for Jesus being the Messiah and all, but God's expectations are pretty high as well. If I'm trying to keep him happy, keep God happy and meet his expectations, that's going to be impossibly demanding. And that seems to be St. Paul's dilemma, doesn't it? He knows he wants to live up to God's standard by the laws and commands God gave his people. And as an ex-Pharisee, Paul would have prided himself on striving to keep the law. But he knows that time and time again, he falls short and ends up doing the very thing he knows he shouldn't and that he doesn't want to do. And maybe we can relate to Paul's pain. At one time or another, I'm sure we've all probably thought, I'm going to kick that habit. I'm going to rein in my temper. I'm going to be more patient, not lose my self-control, not be so hard on others or myself, choose the healthy options, curb my spending, spend more time with loved ones, and so on and so forth, only to fall off the wagon and slip back into old patterns of behaviour and old attitudes. But as well as bemoaning his inability to keep God's law, Paul makes an interesting and slightly strange remark. If I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. It's like he's saying the law is good at drawing attention to our inability to keep it. God's laws and commands are good. They're good for our well-being and others' well-being. They're good for building up and sustaining community. They're good for highlighting to us what is important to God. Things like honesty, mercy, justice. But they're also good at highlighting that the bar is so high that we will inevitably fall short in some way. But how is that a good thing? Well, we're forced to confront our own inability to lead a perfect and blameless life in our own strength. We have to admit that we need help. It reminds us that we are not God. And all of us are in the same boat. No one can claim the moral high ground. If Paul couldn't, then we certainly can't. The law is good at levelling that playing field. So like Paul, we might wonder where on earth that leaves us. And with Paul, I hope we can also say, but thanks be to God, who delivers us from our failures, from our own expectations of perfection, who delivers us from trying to be good enough in our own strength, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. There are two dilemmas that we face here. We can wear ourselves out trying to meet the expectations of a world that can never be satisfied, and or wear ourselves out trying to meet God's standards, which we realise is impossible. And Jesus is the answer to both those dilemmas. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. By saying his yoke is easy, Jesus isn't promising his followers a life without difficulties, but he's inviting us to stop striving under the heavy weight of sin and expectations built on perfectionism or legalism or self-reliance, and instead to trust in him and his grace. And we've spoken about that word so much in the last few weeks, that undeserved but freely and totally given blessing and love of God because of what Jesus has already done for us on the cross. Jesus is inviting us into that relationship and love of the Father that he knows himself. His yoke is easy because he invites us to walk alongside him, in step with him. And he provides the strength and the guidance to meet life's challenges. His burden is light, because he never asks us to carry life's burdens alone, but instead he bears the greatest weight himself. Through his death and resurrection, he's carried our shame and our failures and our disappointments and our sin and condemnation. The burden he gives us is not one of bondage, but of grace. And as we follow him, he supplies the strength that we lack, the peace that we can't kind of manufacture for ourselves, and the rest that our souls desperately long for. Yes, following Jesus involves surrender and sacrifice and obedience, but it also leads to peace and purpose and hope, making his burden far lighter than the crushing weight of trying to carry everyone else's expectations. I love the way that the Message relates this passage in Matthew. The Message is not really a translation of the Bible, but someone's paraphrase and rewording of it. And it says this: "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." That sounds good, doesn't it? So perhaps a question we need to ask ourselves is, whose yoke are we carrying? The yoke of other people's expectations? The relentless pressure to prove ourselves? The fruitless and vain hope that we can somehow be good enough in our own strength? Or the gentle yoke of Christ? He invites us to lay down the burdens we were never meant to carry, and to walk beside him, secure in the Father's love. And later in the service, as we come to his table, hear that invitation again. Come to me. And may we discover or rediscover the freedom of living not by the exhausting demands of the world, but by those unforced rhythms of grace. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the book of Romans, chapter 7, starting at verse 15. "I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord."
The gospel reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 to 19 and 25 to the end. "To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her deeds." At that time Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.